That's loud today with the music. Joel Radio back. How are you? I'm Joel. What's going on, people? Just trying to get that down to a manageable. That's too loud. We're both too old. If it's too... What's the phrase?
It's too loud, you're too old.
If it's too loud, you're too old. Well, welcome to my world. Joel Radio back. Corey Hall sitting in. Look at him.
Yes, you might remember me from... Your
days
podcast sucks. And,
yeah.
Jerk Off Home Companion and so many other classics.
Corey, back when you were doing the radio show, we had the Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Mm-hmm.
And very soon we'll have the Tonight Show with Jay Leno again. So not much has changed.
That's right. I only come back for the most important, earth-shattering stories.
Yeah.
The things that really matter to this democracy of ours. And as you know, the State of the Union address was just this week. And of course, that's not what I'm here for.
No, not at all.
I'm here for the earth-shattering Jay Leno on Oprah interview segment.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Jay Leno finally gave his first interview about the whole debacle. Now, when I had done my assholes of the year, I put Jeff Zucker
sure
high up in my top 10. And that was before Leno was fired and they wanted to replace him. You know, they wanted to replace Conan. That was just based on putting Leno at 10.
Well, and it's deserving,
which was a disaster,
for all the other things Zucker has done to screw up NBC.
Right. But then when you came on with your top 10 assholes,
yeah,
I think at that point the decision was made to get rid of Conan. Was that or not? Or was that not done yet? I'm trying to remember the time.
No, it wasn't quite done yet.
It wasn't quite done yet.
It was starting to percolate.
It was, there was some rumors.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. But but now, since then, it's been completely done, and Conan's gone, and he's actually off the air. And I thought I had a pretty funny last week of shows.
Oh, they were great.
If you didn't get to see the last week or two of Conan, it was great. So
I thought it was terrific television.
Yeah, it was good.
He did a whole... Although, the end with Will Ferrell was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb.
Apparently, Will Ferrell's wife gave birth
like yesterday.
That night
something. Know. Yeah, she gave birth like this week, so she was like 4 days away.
You didn't see it. It was Will Ferrell doing Freebird.
Yeah.
With Beck.
Yeah.
And was it like...
Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Yeah.
And Ben Harper.
Ben Harper. Yeah.
And then the Tonight Show Band with Max Weinberg.
And Conan was playing. So that was... Conan actually does rockabilly, which he did when they came on during the writer's strike. When he
would
come on with his beard, he played rockabilly a couple nights.
But Conan... Yeah, I didn't think the end of that was that great. I thought that last particular thing was
right.
Not
the whole
great.
Week was good, though.
Yeah, it was good. Steve Carell was great when he came
Steve
out.
Steve Carell was funny. Ed Helms was good.
Yeah, it was a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah.
So, a lot of good. Even I thought Robin Williams was great.
Robin Williams was pretty funny.
And Robin Williams is annoying, and he did that whole annoying thing, but somehow it worked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of the situation.
No, he was good.
That they were in. He sang this whole fuck NBC song. And
Andy was in fine form.
Yeah, Andy was funny. He was
when
good.
Andy was begging television for a job. That was good. I mean, obviously, that was the best part of the new Tonight Show, which I didn't exactly... I had some issues with Conan's Tonight Show.
Really? Okay.
Up until this last month or so when he really caught fire with the NBC stuff. I thought it was a little watered down from what it had been.
Well, I think that was the point, though, was that he hadn't found his... audience yet. He hadn't really found his identity at 11:30, and that was his argument for staying.
He had gone into more stunt-oriented kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They were doing stuff like launching... They had a mannequin of Fonzie that they shot out of a cannon.
Yeah,
They was doing more of that stuff, and Conan was always better with the really absurd sort of his little bits.
Right.
His little desk bits. That was always the best part. Conan's a pretty good interviewer.
Yeah.
If you wanted to rank the late night hosts.
Yeah, he is. He's funny. And
he's a decent interviewer, although I think Ferguson's the best because he just doesn't give a crap and wings it.
Right.
But anyway, you know, not that anyone cares about
But Conan does a nice job on his show, and he always had pretty good musical guests and that, and it was, you know, it was a good
I've
show.
Always enjoyed
it. It was
Conan's
the best
show.
Late night show when it was on at 12:30. And he brought that to 11:30, and it was different, and he had to do a longer monologue, and, you know.
The monologue is my least favorite part of any
sure.
show.
But Conan's monologue in the last week when it was all those NBC jokes
was great.
And his, you know, super expensive bits that he was doing with the expensive car and the Rolling Stone song. And a lot of that was fake.
The Bugatti Veyron mouse.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, Yeah, like the Super Bowl footage wasn't real Super Bowl footage in a lot of
and that
stuff.
That was always my favorite Conan stuff on the old show, was when he would do new characters.
Exactly.
And they'd just be like coked up werewolf.
Yeah.
You know, the robot that on the toilet and making the cleaning sounds.
My thing I did on Conan when I was in 1996.
Oh, that's right. Let's say Joel was on Conan.
Do you want to know my Conan bit that I took part
in? You were sitting in the audience.
I was sitting in the audience, and it was called Farewell to Sweeps, where, you know, sweeps were over, and they were going to replay all the great sweeps bits. And of course, these were made up bits, but they were like, for sweeps, you know, we brought out, like, they brought out Ted Kaczynski's, you know, tar paper shack. And they painted it up in psychedelic colors and called it Ted Kaczynski's Love Shack. And that was like one of the bits that they did. And he says, you know, remember back when we did this? And Andy was there. But I was the night that the cow from Twister made an appearance.
Ah.
And so the cow from Twister flew over the heads of the studio audience.
Okay.
And I was one of the, it was me and my college buddy.
You didn't actually do a bit where you talked to anybody.
I didn't talk to anybody, no, but I was in the bit.
The cow
flew over my head, but I had to act it. No, I'll tell you that I had to act. I had to pretend the cow was coming from one, you know, because there wasn't actually a cow. It was superimposed, obviously. It was, you know, like, you know, digitally added. Right. So I had to watch, you know, for the cow was coming.
So you went back to your training with Lee Strasberg.
I did.
In the Actors Studio.
Well, I'll tell you what. The one when we did it, you know, they do the show live on tape. And so, you know, they do the show. And when they take, like, a commercial break, it's actually
much like the
Corey
and Joel radio show was done.
And, but what happened was they didn't like the way that the cow from Twister was done.
Ah.
And so we had to that was a reshoot. The one that actually aired.
Okay.
Was a reshoot where I actually had to get we had to get our eyelines.
Who was the warm-up act for that?
Some comic. I forget the guy's name.
Yeah.
But he's a comic.
It was not Jimmy Pardo.
Not Jimmy Pardo. Apparently he was doing he's another guy. He's out of work now. But Jimmy was doing the 11:30 show for Conan. So.
Right.
And usually those guys get to sit in on the writing meetings and stuff. So it's, you know, he was good because he would come out, you know, the warm-up guy on those things comes out and, you know, they talk to the audience and do like kind of crowd work, you would call it, in stand-up world. Mm-hmm. They don't really do like a straight stand-up comedy set. They talk to everybody and where they're from and how they're doing. And you know, they do a lot of the same. I went to 2 Conan tapings, and the guy did the same lines like, you know, 50 times. Here's one of his lines. You want to know? Okay, pretend you're from Canada. I'm going to ask you. Okay, and what's your name, sir?
George.
Okay, George, where are you from, George?
Winnipeg.
It's in Canada, right? Canada. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a town in Canada called Regina. Oh no. He's like, what's the capital of Saskatchewan?
Regina.
Are there kids that live there? You know, that was his big. You know, that was his big joke. And he did that joke, you know, twice. There was someone from Canada in the crowd.
Really? That was
the
joke?
Yeah. It was his big joke about Canada, and you know, he had stock lines that he used and stuff. And then he came out and he introduced Conan. And for Andy came out, and the band played for like a half hour before the show.
Well,
and then, you know, Conan came out and actually sang an Elvis song. They're talking about how Conan used to play rock.
There's not going to an actual taping of anything, of a movie, of a TV show.
Yeah.
If you actually see the gears of how it works, it's an interesting process.
It was interesting. I think the whole Conan thing was, I think we lined up for, got at least 2 hours beforehand.
Yeah.
And then got in and then waited at least an hour in there for it to start, you know. And then they did the warm-up, and there was like 30 minutes of warm-up between the band. And, you know, Conan and Andy did some bits in the crowd. And then they start, you know, the warm-up guy, and then they started the show. So it's a whole long. Like, it takes 5 hours to go see Conan. Yeah. At least that was my experience at Rockefeller Center in New York. And I know that there's always stories about, you know, Johnny Carson used to get out at there at 10 a.m. to go watch Johnny or something. You know.
What's that? Oh, you had to get in line?
Yeah, like to do Johnny, because they do you know, the West Coast shows, I guess, are done like at 5 o'clock East Coast. They're done at like 2 or something, I guess, in L.A. So, yeah.
I think Ferguson does Thursday and Friday at the same time.
Yeah, I know Letterman does that. That's Letterman's deal. Yeah, Letterman does Thursday and Friday.
I would think you'd want to be topical for that day, but
I think it's just another day off for him.
Yeah.
Plus the Friday show, you know, in late night television, the Friday show is not important.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lowest rated show of the week because people are out. That Thursday is the big show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know why Thursday is the big deal in TV?
It has been,
but you know why?
People are home. I don't know.
That's part of it. But the reason Thursday is the most important day is because, and this I learned, you know, in my various researches, you know, not because I'm a television executive.
I've learned
but
this
I know
by
that.
Not having a day job for years and sitting and reading things online.
So I stopped jacking off and I started reading The Hollywood Reporter. No. Thursday is the biggest night for television, primetime and late night, is because the movie studios buy all the ads.
Because movies open on Friday.
It's the Friday movies that get top dollar. So usually, like, say, if you watch Survivor at 8 o'clock on Thursday, the first break is whatever movie's coming out that week.
Sure.
And that's a big money ad. And that's when they sell those. You know, they sell them for Thursday because the movie studios figure that's when people are figuring out what they're going to do Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, and they're probably...
they're sitting at home Thursday.
People are probably at home on Thursday because they're going to go out the next
Yeah,
night.
So sure. When they do, you know, whatever the 11:30 show Letterman, you know, that's when you'll see the movie ads. You'll see the biggest guests on Thursdays. Howard Stern always talked about that when he goes on, you know, any of the late night shows, he does Thursday because he wants to be on the biggest night and they know that they can charge more for the ads.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
So that's why Thursday is the big TV night and all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
But anyway.
So I guess why this is important to us and why you and I have always talked about this stuff when we've done podcasts together is I've always cared about late night TV. I've always watched it.
Oh, sure.
I've always, because one, I think we both were kids with very little rules.
Well, I don't know if that
up.
Was true. I mean, I always had a TV in my room and stuff.
Yeah,
so I
you'd
could
stay
watch
up late
shows.
And watch stuff.
Yeah.
We were not parents. We were not raised by parents who were very strict.
For me, I used to watch the daytime shows when I was like a real little kid. My mom would watch. She watched Dinah Shore and Mike Douglas and Mike Griffin and all these.
There
so
used
I would
to
watch
be
those.
More talk. People were like, there's so many talk shows. Yeah. There were always a lot of talk
shows. All that was on TV in a lot of ways was talk shows. But then, you know, I remember getting old enough. I remember being at camp. Not like boys camp or something, but this was like a camp, like a family camp. And we'd have a little TV and we'd stay up late. And I remember when I was old enough to start watching Johnny.
Okay.
Because I didn't get it. You know, you didn't get Johnny when you were like 8.
Not really. Yeah. But it always looked like this kind of glamorous world.
Yeah. So I remember being like 12 or whatever it was and I was at camp. And we had this black and white TV and we'd watch Johnny and then we'd watch Letterman. So this would have been in like 83 or something, whenever Letterman came out.
Yeah.
And we'd be at camp and we'd be watching Letterman. You know, like I said, I was about 12 in 83, 84. And they were like, great. I was like, oh, these shows are so funny. You know, I loved them, you know. Because I like jokes and stuff, and they'd make fun of people, and, you know, guests would come on. It was cool. I liked it.
So
that's how I remember being old enough in the summertime to stay up at night at camp and watch those shows.
I loved Andy Kaufman as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And he was on Taxi, obviously, and so everybody knew him from that. Yeah. But I remember seeing him do his weird stuff on Letterman.
Yeah.
And that's the.
But you watched
earliest...
SNL and stuff too.
I had watched SNL, and I had seen him then. So I've just always loved that kind of stuff because to me that was always the front line of where the subversion was.
Yeah, and there was nothing else on too. You have to remember, you know, back. I mean, we probably had cable, but when we went to camp, we didn't.
Yeah.
So we had, you know, the three channels, and it was like at 11:30. What were you going to watch? You know?
I remember watching Fridays.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
Because also, when you're a kid, you're going to watch all this TV because you can't leave the house.
Yeah.
I remember watching Fridays, and I remember they did a sketch about, remember when baby seals getting clubbed was like a big deal?
The big environmental issue.
But they did a bit where they were clubbing Muppets and turning them into like, you know.
Pelts or something?
They were turning them into backpacks. They just went and there was all this Muppet stuff at a store, and they were like, look at all these Muppets that have been killed. And they were, and I was like, no, Fozzie. Because when you're a kid, that stuff, you know, you take it personally.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was a big show for me. Like, I remember not necessarily the news on HBO I liked a lot as a kid. That was like a real funny sketch show, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, and they did, you know, Rich Hall would come on with his Sniglets and
but I think,
lots of Reagan stuff.
I
mean,
it's probably part of the reason you and I both became comedians was we were always sort of watchers of this stuff.
Yeah, I remember watching like Mike Douglas and wanting to do that. I can remember that and going, oh, I want my, you know, and this is my talk show now.
Sure.
Very far from my Douglas, but it's...
When is Joan Embry coming on?
She's coming on soon.
From the San Diego Zoo.
I don't know. I might get Chill on next week. It'll be the closest I'm going to get to that. So, I mean, you know...
Chill will bring a stray dog that he found.
Yeah, well, I have a cat that sometimes sits
there
in.
There you go.
You know. Yeah, when you're not here and sometimes it's just me, the cat will be sitting, you know,
the cat
right
is
here.
Your co-host?
The cat will sit here and I'll talk to her. Yeah. It's pretty...
I did tell my cousin was posting on Facebook about how she's like, my cat's curling up with me, but I wish I had a man to warm me up.
Yeah.
I'm like, Becky, sweetheart, first thing you want to do to get a man, get that cat out of there.
Well, that's
get rid of that cat.
I understand your point on that, but you know, Some guys are. I my girlfriend has a cat.
Yeah.
And I go over there, and her cat jumps on top of me and lays in bed. And my cat does the same, and my girlfriend's over here.
But the honest to God truth is, no heterosexual male wants to hear.
You generally,
they don't want to hear about your cat.
Yeah,
they will tolerate your cat. But here's the thing: a cat is directing attention away from you, and therefore, no guy gives a crap about a cat. Anyway,
well,
back to the topic at hand.
All right, Leno, do you want to? Should we start playing these? Because Leno did Oprah today.
Yes.
And I
remember when Leno was the guest host on Carson.
Yes.
They don't. That practice is gone because of Jay Leno.
Jay Leno won't really let anybody do it. I know he let Katie Couric do it the one time when they switched jobs, and he did.
The last time they had guest hosts was when Letterman had the heart attack.
Well, Letterman's had guest hosts, sure. He got the shingles, and he missed some time. And
yeah.
Letterman seems more secure with it. He let Bill Cosby do it. But
it doesn't happen very
often. Tom Dreesen has done it. I know you're nemesis.
Right, when he was out in Regis.
Yeah.
But it's not a very common practice. It used to be a common practice to have guest hosts on Mike Douglas and Merv Griffin.
Well, Johnny...
Johnny
used to do... I know Woody Allen did it for Johnny a few times. And
a
bunch of guys.
Kermit the Frog did it.
I'm trying to remember. David Brenner, I know, did it a lot.
And Gary Shandling, and that's where...
Well, actually, the history of that was that Joan Rivers was the permanent guest host.
Right.
She left to do her own show. Mm-hmm. And the replacements for Joan Rivers were Gary Shandling and Jay Leno.
Yeah, and that's where Shandling got his basis for the Larry Sanders show.
And then Shandling got the sitcom,
mm-hmm.
and it's Gary Shandling's show, and he had to quit his gig, his Tonight Show gig, and then Jay became the guy.
Right.
So there's the history of that.
Right.
Just to do that.
There you go.
In case you don't know. Well, up to speed.
Around about, 88 or so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it became, when Shandling was out, then it was Jay was doing it. And Johnny used to take, Johnny used to never be on.
No, Johnny would take, he'd do, two nights a week or something. It would be
he was skipping, every Monday for a long time.
Yeah, he'd work Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's about it.
He had a great deal. Whatever he had is what you want.
He really did.
You could just be I'm not showing up. Have Leno do it. Have the kid do it.
Yeah.
And that's what Johnny would do.
Right. It would, good times. Yeah. By the way, Johnny, if you and I'm sure there are millions of people out there who don't even remember Johnny anymore.
Yes.
And certainly international listeners, like the great Nils, who's out there somewhere in the
stratosphere. He's out there. I didn't chat with Nils once in a while.
He still posts.
Sure.
Are not familiar with Carson's work, Reels channel, and if you get yourself a Sling Box.
The Reels channel.
Reels channel is running Carson in the daytime.
Oh, really? Okay.
They're running Best of Carson.
I don't know that I even have that on my... I have every channel, I think, except...
You don't
have
Reels?
I don't know that I have Reels.
Well, So, I found this out because at the screening room, that's what the guy watches during the day.
Oh, okay.
Like, in between movies, he'll turn on Carson.
Yeah.
And he was doing... What was the name of the guy that did the editorial... The Carson would do the rhubarb redneck kind of guy.
Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about.
Well, he was doing one of those skits, and he was talking about subsidies for miners. And he's like, that's a great job working in a coal mine because you get to watch bats do it. And just goofy stuff like that. But then he was like, and then when you come out of the coal mine, you're covered in powder and you can play Al Jolson. And we're like, well, hey, Johnny.
Well, do you remember the Mighty Carson Art Players?
Sure.
That was when they do sketches and dramatic stuff.
Yeah, and that was terribly hacky.
And they were horrible. And he knew they were bad. Like, that was the thing about Carson is
he would play up how bad his sketches were.
Yeah, and his monologues and stuff, and he would do these sketches and they were just notoriously bad. And he would have celebrities on and they just try to make each other crack up, and
I think Jay though doesn't realize his stuff is bad.
No, Jay thinks his stuff is great.
Jay really thinks that's hilarious.
And thinks it's good.
Yeah,
yeah, and Letterman did that too. Where Letterman was sarcastic about his stuff, and
absolutely.
But I think now that's kind of out though.
Dumping on your own jokes?
Yeah, it seems like that's kind of been done. That there's people have taken that as far as it can go.
Ferguson kind of does that.
Yeah,
Ferguson's always dumping on how bad his show is.
He has a more of an old school kind of.
He does.
Show.
He does.
Yeah, but I think now people expect some sort of level of
sophistication.
Because I think there's competition. There's just a lot of, you know, nothing was on against Johnny. Who gave
sure.
a shit?
And now there's 11 dozen.
Yeah,
night,
I mean, you can watch,
guys.
You know, you can watch Stephen Colbert or one of these guys. And
sure.
Chelsea Handler, George Lopez.
Because those guys are on at 11 o'clock, too.
Yeah.
John Stewart. And
yeah.
I never watch John Stewart at night. I only ever see it, you know, on the replays.
Oh, okay.
But it's out there.
Yeah,
you're right.
But that's saying there's all these guys. So I think that what Johnny was doing was kind of like, you know, he didn't need to work hard.
No.
Is what I'm saying.
He was a juggernaut.
Yeah.
In a way that you'll never see again.
Yeah, because there's just too much.
He dominated. They wouldn't even put on shows against him.
Yeah, it was on against a test pattern.
Right.
They'd sign off.
They remember they tried to do the Pat Sajak show?
Yeah.
And that was terrible.
Yeah. It's a lot of bad shows. Alan Thick
Chevy,
of the Night.
Oh, Thick of the
stuff.
Night.
Yeah, it was a lot of bad
shows. Oh, God.
But,
that was horrible.
But should we get to the
Rick
we get
Deeth.
To the
yes.
Jay Leno?
So Jay Leno.
In a face-saving move now.
This is such a face-saving move. What
because, well, Conan's been muzzled, essentially. He's not on television anymore.
He
can't respond to this.
He can't go in. Conan can't do interviews, right? Is that the deal?
He can do interviews. I think there is something about he can't trash NBC as part of the settlement. And
yeah.
he
if
can.
I was Conan, I would have told them to. I know this is sounds absurd, but I would have said, keep your money.
Yeah.
Just let me go free.
Well.
I will leave right now. You can keep your $35 million.
I think he's...
Because he's going to get that money from somebody else.
Well, but I think he's got advisors who are saying, hey, look.
Yeah, take the money.
We've got these guys over a barrel, in a sense.
No, I know, and that's what it...
And
all the blood-sucking lawyers get their fangs out and go, let's stick it to these bastards.
But they're saying, why risk, you know, Conan could be hit by a truck tomorrow. You know, why not take the money?
I understand. Okay, this is where it starts to become baffling to you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Because... whatever money Conan has made in his career in the 17 years he was on NBC is 50 million times more than what we'll ever see.
Okay, but that's not the point.
Wouldn't you be happy with the money?
Well, the point is that, you know, if you're owed, if you think you're owed and his reputation is damaged and he's not, you know, so you've got to give him.
No, and it was about sticking it to NBC.
Yeah, and he did, and I think he got,
sure.
you know, he got what he wanted out of the deal, so. Anyway, here's let me turn up this.
So as we all know, Jay Leno weaseled his way into the Tonight Show to begin with and shoved Dave Letterman under the under the carpet. So
Oprah did an interview, which I thought Oprah's interview. I haven't watched this whole thing, but based on what I saw, I think Oprah at least asked good questions.
Yeah,
I don't think she didn't ask a lot of follow ups and stuff, which usually you know.
But she's not as ass kissy as she often is.
No, it was actually kind of a good interview. You know, she kind of did put a little heat under.
Well, this is what you have to do though in America is go on with Oprah's on his set.
Well, yeah, Oprah. Yeah, that's part of why it's he didn't have to go to the Oprah show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oprah came to Jay's set, and he didn't fly out to Chicago or any of this.
He didn't
crap.
Have to do any of that.
No. But you have to go and genuflect on Oprah for the country to forgive you. Is that
how
it works?
Yeah, that's kind of the way. I mean, if he would have done, I don't know, who would be a tough interview for him to do, but I mean, who would be like 60 Minutes or something? Would they really bust his stones?
60 Minutes is, that's the problem. There's nobody tough in
there. There really isn't. I mean, Howard Stern's tough, obviously.
Chris Matthews is kind of tough, but he's crazy.
But he wouldn't do
he wouldn't
entertainment
do, right,
thing.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, like the Today Show would do something, but you know.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't completely
And Leno's not
going to
go on O'Reilly or something.
Yeah, he's
so,
not going to go on O'Reilly. He's not going to do another.
Do you think O'Reilly would even ask him tough questions? I don't know.
Yeah, so who's really left to ask him tough questions? I mean, maybe like a newspaper guy might, but where, you know, it's not going to reach the people that Oprah is. So.
No, you know who to ask him tough questions? Letterman.
Well, he's not going.
That's it. He's not going on.
Well, that's not happening. So let's listen to Oprah here as she quizzes Jay.
And I said, okay, let's try it. Let's
so
try the
test. So she's asking him about, in this particular clip, we're going to play just a couple clips, but she asks him about, would you consider moving your, were you considering going to another network rather than doing the 10 o'clock show?
Mm-hmm.
Like he accepted the 10 o'clock show. Jay was trying to go to another network when they offered him 10 o'clock as a way to get Jay to stay. And he's going to give his reasons now for not going to another network. So listen to this.
Time rather than going to another network or going through
looking for
another job.
Well, to go to another network, boy, it's a lot of work. I mean, you don't know where you're going. You don't know who you're dealing with. I've been at this network since 1984 in one form or another. I know the lighting guys. I know what lighting guys I want. I know the makeup. I just know it. I'm comfortable here. I'm not someone.
I know the lighting guys.
Did you not feel disrespected?
So he's
by the NBC executives.
Oh yeah, I most certainly did.
So was it against your better judgment to do the primetime show?
Well, I chose to do it, so I take full responsibility.
And did you do it because is there a part of you that finds it hard to say goodbye to television?
I did it because it's an interesting challenge.
How did you feel as the...
what an idiot. I know the lighting guy.
It's an interesting challenge.
Yeah, I couldn't go because ABC, the lighting guy, they're terrible.
You will never see a more disingenuous interview. I've seen politicians that gave more honest, factual...
Yeah, the makeup people. I know the makeup people.
He had the audacity, too, to blame this on Conan in an earlier segment of this.
Well, we'll see. We'll hear. I'm going to fast forward to when he talks about Conan and did he talk to Conan and,
sure,
you know, the ratings and all that stuff. That's coming up here.
Not that this hasn't been covered in excruciating detail all over the media, but what happened was in 2004... they announced that Conan was going to take over the Tonight Show in 5 years.
Yes.
And Jay then puts that on Conan and says he was the driving force behind that move.
Well, his point was that Conan's people were negotiating to get him the show.
Sure.
And they
said... There's a nice carpet commercial.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's snuck in there. Well, yeah. But Jay had the balls to say that this was Conan's idea, and he pushed Conan.
Well, but
Jay got pushed aside by Conan.
In a sense, Conan's people did drive this. It was a power play on his part to get the Tonight Show, which is fine. But Jay agreed to go, and then he kind of didn't go.
But the whole point is Letterman sat and waited patiently for Johnny to leave.
Yeah.
And Jay muscled his way right into the Tonight Show.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure how much of Johnny being pushed off the air. I don't know if that was true.
No, Johnny left on his own.
Yeah, I think Johnny left on
his own. The network didn't even know Johnny was leaving.
Yeah.
He came out to the upfront
and
said, I'm leaving.
Yeah, that's in the league.
But Letterman had been Johnny's chosen successor.
Yeah.
Johnny had prepared the spot for him.
But he had no sense in it. But that was, too, because, you know, Johnny owned his show. And after a certain point, Johnny negotiated for it. That's why you never see old Tonight Show clips.
Yeah.
Like black and white clips and stuff.
Well, because a lot of them got erased.
A lot of them got erased, but Johnny owned the show starting in... God, I don't know what year it was. The early 80s, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Where when he did a renegotiation where his production company took it over and stuff. And Johnny owns those tapes. So you only ever see clips of Johnny going back to like the early
80s. That's why it's on the Reels channel.
And that's probably what's on the Reels channel.
Well, I think, though, a good chunk of it got erased in the...
I'm sure it did, yeah.
Because back in the 60s, they were stupid and they didn't...
They
were like, we only have so much videotape.
Yeah.
Let's re-erase this.
Yeah, because the videotape was expensive. Who was ever going to want to watch Johnny?
Difficult times.
Right.
So did you thought you were fair game? Even for Jimmy Kimmel when
Jimmy Kimmel
was
made
on?
Fun of him. And
again, I had Jimmy Kimmel on my show, and yeah, I got sucker punched.
You're known for pranks.
We'll listen to this Jimmy Kimmel.
I think the best prank I ever pulled was I told a guy that 5 years from now I'm going to give you my show, and then when the 5 years came, I gave it to him, and then I took it back almost instantly.
Wow.
And
pretty good.
All you have to take care of is cars.
That's right.
I mean, we have lives to lead here. You've got $800 million. For God's sakes, leave our shows alone.
It's my show.
That was pretty good. That's
the funniest Kimmel's ever been. I give him credit for that.
Kimmel went after him a little bit.
Sure.
I find it hard to believe that wasn't
planned.
That they didn't clear that a little bit.
I don't know. Do you think Jimmy would have the stones to just slip that on him?
Yeah, maybe, but...
I think Jay's going to say, well, with my show, I let him do it. I'd let him say it.
Well...
They could have edited that right out.
I mean, Jay's like, well, I'm a good guy. I left it in.
What does he think Kimmel was going to say when he came on? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have Kimmel on as a buddy-buddy. Kimmel's going to stick
But yet. They did that when he was, you know... whatever year it was, and it was probably like 2 years ago when he went on ABC. Do you remember that? He went on Jimmy's show, and Jimmy came on Jay's show.
They did a little...
And they had a little thing because they were kind of getting... Like, maybe Jay's ready to go to ABC at the end of his deal. So, anyway, let's listen to more.
Put it out there. I walked into it.
Did you know he was going that far?
No, I
this
didn't.
Is where he starts talking about Conan in a second.
Yeah, so. The jokes about the cars and you only have cars.
I got sucker punched. But you know, when you get sucker punched, you just get right back up again. You don't whine and complain and go, oh, I'm going to take that out. He said something bad about me. That's all right.
Yeah,
Have you talked to Conan in person
during all of this? No, I haven't.
Here's the good part.
Did you want to pick up the phone?
Yeah, but it didn't seem appropriate.
Why?
I don't know. I think it let things cool down and maybe we'll talk, you know?
Yeah. How long has Letterman been waiting for things to cool down?
I don't think things are
20 years? He's never talked to Letterman again. He and Letterman were friends.
Yeah, I know.
And they've never talked again.
I don't think.
You lying big chin piece
of. Let him talk. Come on, he's going.
No, they were jokes. And that's okay. I mean.
So jokes don't hurt you?
It's what we do, you know? You can't. It's like being a fighter and say, when you got punched in the head, did it hurt? Well, yeah, but you're a fighter. That's what you do.
When you, in the privacy of your own thoughts, in your own home, you go home with Mavis at the end of the day, you didn't say, you know, I thought that was kind of rotten, or I thought that went a little too far.
Well, you know, the odd thing is, it's all your conscience. If you think you played a role in it somehow, then you get a guilty conscience and you feel bad. But nowhere in my wildest dreams did I think that they would ask me to go back. It just didn't seem
logical.
So
when they asked you to go back, mm-hmm. did you ever at any time think, well, if I go back, I'm taking away Conan's dream?
No, because...
Why would I think that?
This is an affiliate decision.
He's gonna bury
affiliates
Conan
felt
here.
The ratings were low. This was the first time in the 60-year history of The Tonight Show that The Tonight Show would have lost money. And that's what it comes down to. It's really just a matter of dollars and cents. If the numbers had been there, they wouldn't have asked me. And they only asked me after Conan turned down moving it back half an hour.
After Conan turned down moving it back half an hour.
I was ready to do half an hour, and he could keep The Tonight Show. That was fine with me.
And so no part of you thought, enough already. I've done it.
You know, if you're a gunfighter, you like to die in the street.
I'm a gunfighter. I might like to die at home in the comfort of...
No, you don't. You're a gunfighter.
No.
Oprah, you're still on. How many times are you going to retire?
No.
You're still on.
I'm telling you.
All right.
But let's go. Let's not... See, now he's glossing over his dicky comment.
It's an affiliate decision. Yes. No, the affiliates decided that the 10 o'clock Jay Leno show was sucking money out of their pockets.
Yeah. The affiliate thing, they were angry about Jay at 10.
Right.
They weren't so worried about Conan.
No, because their money comes from the 11 o'clock newscast.
They didn't really care what was going on in late night.
They probably care,
but not to that extent.
What they wanted was a lead into their 11 o'clock newscast, which Leno, it was so bad Boston was going to cancel the show.
Yes.
Boston was going to yank.
By the way, it's the radio. Don't worry about that.
Boston was
the radio sometimes comes through the board.
Oh, weird.
And I don't know why, but it's happened.
Keep on rocking me back.
I don't think people at home can hear it, but we can hear it.
Anyway, what was it? There were major stations like in Boston and Philadelphia where they were ready to dump the Jay Leno show and put on a freaking infomercial or something because they were getting abysmal lead-in numbers compared to what they were used to.
Yes.
Then Conan, what does Conan come on after?
After the late local news, which
after the late local news, which is down because of the late Jay Leno show at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I've explained that Conan never really had a chance. He was on in the summer against having reruns as a lead in. Then they added Leno, which was not prime time programming.
Would Conan have had the same numbers as Jay Leno? Maybe never.
Yeah,
but would his numbers have been that bad if he had gotten a lead in?
Yeah, no,
I don't think so. So this is total disingenuousness from Leno to say it was an affiliate decision because Conan was that bad.
Yeah,
you were that bad, sucker.
Yeah, he was that bad, and then he talked about, this is the first time the Tonight Show was going to lose money with Conan and all that stuff. And while that might be true, it's a domino effect starting with his show.
Sure,
and it is true that Conan walked away. I mean, Conan could have been on at 12:05. But that wouldn't ultimately have been successful anyway.
But the whole rationale for the 10 o'clock Jay Leno show, the whole reason they kept him, instead of just cutting his ass loose and sending him across the street, why didn't Jay leave and go do another show? Because he knows the lighting guys.
Well, he knows the lighting guys and the mega people.
But the whole rationale for putting on Jay Leno at 10 o'clock was that it was going to be cheaper than producing full-on dramas at 10 o'clock.
Which I think Leno did the numbers they expected it to. And it was cheap, and all of that stuff worked out. It was just what happened to the affiliates.
But his show was so bad.
Well, it's bad.
It was so atrocious, and the numbers were so weak that that cost savings from not producing dramas was negated by how shitty Leno was. So he's going to blame it on Conan.
Yeah, he blames... He
unbelievable.
All right. But, you know, and then he also kind of... He goes on here and says, you know, that Conan... but Conan... I think... Let me get back. Conan's point was that when they offered Conan 1205, I think Conan and some of his people wisely said, look, this is just the next... Like, eventually they were going to fire Conan, but it was sort of, how can we fire Conan?
Right.
Is we'll put him on a 1205 and let that show die and kind of let it bleed out. And Conan said, you know what? I don't want to play that game, and I'd rather just leave. And so Conan's decision was to leave rather than to get dicked over again. So, I mean, in a sense...
It's also, if you're getting The Tonight Show, and Conan's point was that The Tonight Show has always been at 1135.
Right.
Or 1130. Actually, it got pushed back to 1135, and Johnny had fought that.
Yes.
So,
and that was to give the late local news another commercial break or something like that. That's why everything's 1130.
These guys, everybody involved in a talk show has a mammoth, absurd ego that we can't even begin to understand.
Well, but my point about Conan's decision is it's almost like saying, like, if I put a gun, like, say we're standing on a bridge, mm-hmm. Vita, and I put a gun to your head, and I say, well, Corey, I'm going to shoot you in the head.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'll just jump off the bridge.
Sure.
And you jump off the bridge, and you say, well, you killed Corey. I said, I killed Corey. Corey jumped.
Yeah.
Corey jumped off the bridge. He chose to jump off the bridge. Well, had you stayed on the bridge, I would have shot you in the head. So, I mean, that's kind of what Conan was doing.
There's at least a statistical chance I might survive jumping off the bridge.
Sure. He had a gun to his head, and, you know.
Ugh, what a jerk. Anyway. So, Leno, to me, is the biggest... I just can't stand him now. When I see him, it's like in the book 1984. Remember they had like Hate Hour?
Yeah.
Or Hate Time?
Okay.
Where they put on the Bernstein, who was the villain.
Oh, okay.
And they would everybody would scream at him when they looked on the TV. That's what I... When I see that big, jut-jawed, no-talent, hack-ass Jay Leno, I can't stand him. And this Oprah thing really solidified it, his duplicity.
Do you want to make a prediction about how Leno does? Because he's coming back March 1st, I
guess.
Jay
will come back like a triumphant, conquering scion.
Does he beat Letterman?
Yeah, probably.
But I've heard that the deal is Letterman's going to try to have Conan on for that first night they're both back head to head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the first night they're head to head, that Letterman's going to book Conan to be his guest.
What's going
to
happen? What, is NBC going to sue Conan if he says bad things about
them? No, I don't know. The deal is out there and whatever. There's things he can't say, and I'm sure
they already breached his contract. So you want to get into that fight?
Well, I've heard, according to Harvey Levin, said on TMZ that he thinks that the Conan, whatever this $40 million he's getting, they don't just give him a check for $40 million.
Sure.
They give it to him over time.
Yeah.
So they might have given him, you know, half of it or a third of it or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they ask, they wait for...
the Jets.
Yeah, we are here. I think it's Jets.
It's very
weird.
But
they wait for him to not disparage them.
Yeah.
So when he actually keeps his mouth shut, that's when he gets more checks. So he's not going to get the 40.
That's what I'm saying. I would have said, screw you.
Well,
keep your money.
Come on.
And
come on.
What?
Come on.
I know.
Come on.
But is he not going to get money from Fox?
He's going to get money, but it's guaranteed money. It's guaranteed money. I mean, it's like if I said to you, like, could you not disparage me when you left the show?
Sure.
And we'll pay you.
Yeah.
And you would have...
Believe me, I would have stayed on the show if there'd been money in the show.
Right, but still.
Ripping on you, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, ripping on me, I
ripped on you on the show.
That's certainly. But, you know, I'm just saying, there's money that will make you shut up. There's hush money.
I guess.
And it's kind of hush money. And,
but have you ever thought of Conan as the kind of guy who runs out and badmouth people?
No.
Only until NBC royally bent him over a stool and performed a prison rape on his big Irish lanky ass.
But he'll go on Letterman, and Letterman will make the jokes.
Sure.
Letterman will make the NBC jokes.
Letterman's been in hog heaven.
And Conan will sit there and kind of look embarrassed and, you know, talk about himself.
It's such a debacle. But this Leno on Oprah was so despicable to me. To watch a guy, because he did the same thing to David Letterman.
They did.
He did this very passive-aggressive. And here's my thing about Leno. It's a generational thing.
Yeah.
Old people like Jay Leno, but he doesn't do a single thing that's provocative or interesting or challenging. He does the same. And he's going to come back to The Tonight Show. He gets a month to reset the... Conan took, what, 6 months to set up, or 4 or 5 months to set up his new show?
I'm thinking when he left,
he took probably 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, he left in February or March and came on in June.
Yeah.
So he had a few months.
And so Leno is going to retool and do a new Tonight Show that's going to be, headlines.
Yeah, it's gonna
jaywalking.
Be the
Kevin, did you see this in the news?
I think he's just. I think he's just gonna take the 10 o'clock show
and put it at 11.
And put the desk back.
Yeah,
because you know he did get rid of the desk and he sits in a chair next to the celebrity. God. And I think now they're gonna do it.
Patton Oswalt was like, he does nothing with the show. Why does he want it?
Well,
it's like he is like he's like fucking the Lord of the Rings. It's my precious.
Yeah. Well.
You know, he's what's his name? Gollum.
He's Gollum, yeah.
He's so, that's totally Jay.
Yeah, when he doesn't have it, he longs for it. He kills him.
Jay doesn't want to do anything interesting with the program.
Well,
so
I think when, you know, and I've talked about this for years about Regis.
Yeah.
And I think this applies to Jay's show, too. It's like, you know, you get these top-notch guests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I think Regis' show, probably even more than, like, a Tonight Show, has probably had, like, great guests. Like, a who's who.
Right.
I mean, everybody.
Publicists will line up to get on the Regis show.
But you never once see a highlight from Regis. Mm-hmm. Like, he was on, Regis had Tom Cruise on. Listen to how interesting it was.
Yeah.
Like, you never see that. You've never once in your life heard an interesting clip from Regis. Whenever they do, like, if they ever do, like, a best of Regis, it's never, like, the clips of the celebrities because they're not fun.
No.
It's just, it's like, there's a game. It's like, they come on.
That's a publicity
show. And you say nothing.
Sure.
And, you know, and then, okay, well, we got this person that no one else, you know, other people can't get him, but I can get him because I'm not going to say anything.
Sure.
It's really amazing. And Jay, I think, has really become that in late night. He's the late night equivalent of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but the other side is people will still go do Letterman because he will yell at them and it'll get publicity either
That's way. True, but you do see Letterman clips from the night before and stuff sometimes. You know, like the Joaquin Phoenix thing and that, and you know, if he has Paris Hilton on, he'll do something, and that's interesting. And but a lot of people won't expose themselves.
Publicists are in the game of controlling their clients' image. I told this story before, but I was interviewing Daryl Hannah when Kill Bill came out.
Okay,
right? She had been in Playboy that month.
Uh huh.
The publicist gets on the phone with me and is like, okay, here comes Daryl. Don't ask her about Playboy. what? I'm looking at the bitch naked right now.
Yeah.
She's in Playboy that month, and don't ask her about Playboy because she didn't like how the shots came out. Jesus Christ.
Well, you're playing a game, too.
I know.
You're there getting, you know.
And that's why I didn't like playing that game.
You're currying favor from them in exchange for something. So, but, I mean, that's why you can't trust those people, and that's why Leno's lame, in a sense. I mean, that's one of the reasons. Not the only reason, but that's part of the reason why I don't think people like Leno compared to the other guys, like Letterman or Conan or
he's
Ferguson. Because when he comes on, there's nothing that happens that's...
No.
You know, and when he did, like, the Hugh Grant thing, everyone said, well, that was a big deal for him because he did that. But I'm sure that was set up, too.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, he knew what Jay was going to ask. They didn't go out and just, you know.
No, and it's not like when Letterman will have people on and actually kind of hammer them.
Yeah.
You know.
But Jay also.
I wonder if Jay will have Sarah Palin on just to tweak Letterman.
Maybe he will.
Because Letterman bashes on her every chance he gets.
There's the lineup. Okay, March 1st, Letterman comes back. He's got Conan as his first guest.
And Leno's got Palin.
Leno's got Sarah Palin as his first guest.
Yeah.
There's our prediction right there. You heard it here first, folks.
There you go.
There it
All
is.
All right, the prognostication begins. Now, so look, I had to explain to Amy's parents why Leno sucks. I was reading a magazine. I was like sitting at a diner reading a magazine, and the waiter was like, "Yeah, what do you think about this?" And I was like, "I don't think Conan's funny." I'm like, I just looked at the guy. I'm like, "Leno is the worst piece of shit."
Leno's. I mean,
and the guy looked like I'd kicked a puppy.
Well,
they can't understand. Average people don't get how bland and flavorless and rehearsed and uninteresting that Leno show is.
I agree that people may not get Conan.
Yeah,
and that's okay. I don't have a problem with people not getting Conan. But I don't get why people like Leno.
I don't either.
Beyond, you know, like, I try to get people like Regis. I don't get why people like some of this lame stuff. And I don't get that.
I would also say, now, Leno's big argument that he's been number one. I'm number one. I'm number two. Take it away from me.
Yeah, I'm number one.
But you're 62 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
He's 59 years old.
Okay, he's 59. Sorry. Yeah. Excuse me.
He's 59.
But, I mean, how long can he do the show? Another 4 or 5 years?
I mean, I think Letterman's older than Jay. But
Conan's 15 years younger than him.
Yes.
Right?
Conan's 44 or something like that. Yeah.
Conan's got a much longer career ahead of him than Jay.
Sure.
And it's a new media world.
Yeah.
What do people... You talk about clips. You talk about nobody ever talks about Regis, what people say on Regis. Right. Because in this new media landscape, DVR numbers matter.
Yeah.
Right? The network still can't figure that out.
Well, there are DVR ratings, but they're...
Right. Well, because Comcast won't give them the DVR ratings.
Yeah, but other people do. And, right. And basically, I think, as far as I know, the DVR rating is based upon when somebody watches it.
Yeah.
Not who records it. So, basically, that DVR rating takes...
A later
A
effect.
Week to come right. in or something, so it's not but, like it's not like an overnight rating like we know now.
Okay, Parks and Recreation, which is a funny show, mm-hmm. has a fairly dismal
yes.
Nielsen rating.
Yes.
But it's one of the highly DVR'd and Hulu'd shows.
Yeah, it's a big show that people watch
and
later.
And so is The something. Office.
Yeah, The Office is like
All
that.
Of those Thursday night NBC shows. Uh-huh. It's the only thing NBC's got are those shows.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Those are the big
We've
things.
Broken down television. Can we agree on this?
What's that?
Jimmy Kimmel sucks. That's
I don't know. Jimmy does stuff that, you know, happens and it's interesting, I guess, sometimes.
He's not bad as an interviewer, but the Guillermo and Uncle Frank.
Yeah, we've talked about this
Enough
a
with
million
that.
Times
Enough
about
with
Jimmy
that.
Kimmel.
Oh.
That his stuff that he doesn't do. Like, Jimmy, to me, kind of is the guy. If Jimmy is known for something right now, and how long has Jimmy been on? 5 years? Six
yeah,
years?
Something,
like that. Went to a Jimmy taping once, too. That wasn't
Did you
interesting.
Really?
When he did Super Bowl shows.
Oh, right. In
Detroit.
That's right.
But I'll tell you my story. It's not even interesting. I think I told this on yeah. the air when it happened.
Well, in L.A., they're giving out. I almost went to Kimmel.
He's on, like, Hollywood. He's somewhere.
He's
like,
on Hollywood Boulevard.
Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, he's right downtown and right on the Walk of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, free passes
Tourists
for Kimmel.
Walking
just
by, yeah.
littered all over.
Uh-huh.
And I almost went, but we just didn't have time because we had to be somewhere else.
Right. Well, when I did Kimmel in Detroit.
Yeah.
My roommate, Kevin, at the time, had written away for tickets.
Sure.
And we got into the Pontiac Garage to watch the musical performance by Buddy Guy. So we watched the show on a monitor.
From the
Pontiac Garage. Yeah. And then when Buddy Guy came on, we were sitting there for Buddy Guy.
I don't know
Guy.
Where he sets the stage up in L.A. for
and,
that stuff.
I think they do it outside, or they have another, like, a satellite studio. I think they do the same thing. They have, like, another bit of the audience. So it was, you know, first come, first get in or whatever, and... We were waiting outside in the cold. It was the Gem Theater downtown right by Ford Field. And we didn't get in. But then we got on Buddy Guy, and then Jeff Daniels, who was the guest, was hanging out watching Buddy Guy. So we got to see Jeff Daniels. And,
sure.
And Jimmy came in for a minute and said goodbye to everybody from the stage. Yeah. And, you know, Buddy Guy did like two songs on the show and then played for like another 25 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got a little Buddy Guy concert.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. So I guess
I've
been
to
Jimmy.
Didn't see the Kid Rock concert.
No, I didn't. I wasn't there for the Kid Rock. I was. Yeah. It was Buddy Guy. I mean, Buddy Guy's all right. You know, I have no problem with Buddy Guy. Yeah, Buddy's all right. He's fine. You know, good.
My
the Pontiac Garage. It's not as nice as my garage. My garage, though, like I forget how many cars. 75. Yeah, we generate our own power at the garage, Corey. We're not. We're very green over there.
The clip we didn't play, by the way, was Jay talking about what a paradise it is to be married to Mavis. Oh, I could do 4 hours on Leno.
Well, anyway, so. So basically, you know, Jay's going to come back, and we'll see how that does, and we'll update you.
Yeah. And here he is as the biggest flop in the history of television.
You know, do you want to do that list? I mean, why don't we do that at the end? I'll tell you what, you read through your list.
Do you want to get to the other big flop this week?
Well, I'll talk about the iPad. That was the other big topic.
That's
today.
The big flop, the iPad.
And then, well, do you want to do some of those? Because I've read that whole
read
article.
Do you want to read All right.
Well, you go ahead and read it. I'm going to pull up my iPad articles. And
okay, all right.
Because Corey's a big TV nerd.
I am a huge nerd. I used to have a TV column.
You did? You had a TV column for a while.
And I would do it again, because that way I don't even have to leave the house.
Yes, it's
so here's some of
we'll do that at the end. Let me do the iPad stuff. We'll take a little break from TV.
God.
Okay. So basically this iPad, a lot of people were anticipating this, and I'm a big tech guy. I love, you know, technology. I like, you know, gadgets, computers, video games, that kind of stuff. And it was called the Apple tablet. Was going to come out. And the Apple tablet was going to be this game-changing device because...
It's from Apple.
It's from Apple, and it was going to be like an e-book reader. We knew that. But it would also play games and show movies and play music and let you surf the internet. And they unveiled it yesterday. Steve Jobs comes out. And they basically unveiled what is... And it says right here, I'm reading it from Yahoo's Tech Reports, Ben Patterson, the Gadget On, says, the iPad arrives, and it's basically a big iPhone.
It kind of is.
Without a phone. Without a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of disappointments about it. It is a 9.7-inch screen, which is nice. certainly will be nice to watch a movie on that compared to, say, the iPhone.
Yeah.
But it's like it doesn't do anything that you don't already have something that it does. And I think that's people's biggest complaint about it. Mm-hmm. Is you have this device, which is really expensive. I mean, it starts at $499.
Sure.
And you don't even get...
And what do you get for $499 from terms of memory?
It's a 16 gigabyte version.
Okay.
Which, now, I think in terms of that, they're comparing that to, say, the Kindle.
Uh-huh.
Which I think the biggest Kindle is 4 gigabytes. And you can store so much stuff, but the Kindle doesn't do videos and music.
Yeah,
like
but text takes up
text
so
doesn't
much,
take up much, yeah.
much space.
And so the argument is, well, 16 gigs is still four times with that. And I think it goes up to a 64 gig version. And they're also, you know, comparing that to what you have in your iPhone.
But
and it's,
who's going to put 5,000 books on at one time?
No, nobody's going.
You'll delete the books after you've read them.
But they're giving you the 16 gigabyte version. Well, it's funny, and the cheapest one that's $499, 16 gigabytes. And there's Wi-Fi, but there's not 3G. In other words,
right.
It's not internet everywhere. If you have a 3G...
Speaking of which, aren't we going to 4G soon? Okay. Isn't that the plan?
Let me explain to people what 3G is. 3G is wireless internet that the phone company provides. Usually, right. 3G is, you know, Sprint, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. Yeah. They all have a 3G network. And it's fast internet. You know, they'll tell you it's rated for one speed. Like, T-Mobile just doubled their speed. And they're claiming it's 7.2 megabits per second, which is pretty fast. I mean, like, my cable modem at home is rated at 6 megabits per second.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my phone, when I do a speed test, I have a G1, which is the Google phone with Android in that. But, you know, it's rated at about a gigabyte or a gigabit, whatever it is. So it's I'm not really getting the posted speeds. But anyway, they're saying that you can get internet anywhere. You're moving in a car. You can get internet on 3G. And it does work, and I've done it in my car. But for the $499, you only get one with Wi-Fi, which means you have to have a hotspot or be in your house and have wireless internet.
By the way, Wi-Fi was supposed to be broadcast all over every corner of the world by now.
Yeah, and cities were doing that.
Yeah, and it didn't
and
happen.
And I know the Royal Oak experiment, I think they've either pulled the plug on it or they had it
Oakland
for a while.
Oakland County was trying to blanket the whole county.
They were saying, well, we'll just put it up there, but the speeds were too slow and nobody liked it.
Yeah.
Basically, it was the problem with it. Anyway, so you don't get 3G. So you're going to be tethered to a hotspot if you want to have internet connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to be at a hotspot or be at your house or somewhere that's Wi-Fi. And in certain cities, like I think in New York City, you can kind of probably get Wi-Fi anywhere.
But yeah, it's probably a lot of coverage.
But if you're moving, you're going to lose your Wi-Fi. Whereas, like, if you're on a bus or a train,
yeah, and then
or
you're
back of a
continually
cab,
searching for,
yeah, and
new
you're continually searching for that connection, so that's bad. So, in order to get that, I think it's an extra $130
right,
for it. It's $629 to get 3G.
But isn't that negated just by getting one of those network cards?
As far as what?
Wireless. You can buy a network card and get hooked up to internet anywhere you want.
Well, that's 3G though.
Yeah,
that's
the
same thing. Like, if you buy a card for your laptop,
I'm saying the Wi-Fi is essentially pointless at that point.
Yes. Once you have that, you probably won't use Wi-Fi. Like, on my phone, I have 3G, and I also have Wi-Fi, but I don't use the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Because on a phone, like, the Wi-Fi isn't constant. Like, if I click on my web browser, and I want to find an internet page, it's going to first search 3G, because it's connected to it, and then it'll switch over to Wi-Fi in the middle. Because the Wi-Fi will hook up to my internet router.
Let me tell you, by the way, we're still, this is 2010, and I just went to Ohio with Newberg last week.
Yeah.
I had a gig, and he was trying to use the GPS on his phone.
Yes.
I have a Garmin GPS.
Yes.
Which I could just plug into the car. But I called him and I said, hey, Newberg, do you need this? And he's like, no, I got GPS.
Right.
So I thought he had one in his car.
Yes.
No. He's on his phone. Can I tell you how many times that thing lost signal going 2 hours away in Ohio?
That's why GPS on your phone is generally no good.
Yeah.
Like, I have GPS on my phone, and I also have a regular GPS.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that the GPS on the phone pulls down the map from the internet.
Right.
As you're going throughout. And it'll cache some percentage of it. But, you know, if you're in the sticks like you guys were where you were going to do your gig... When you don't have your internet, you don't have a map, and so the GPS is kind of useless at that
point. And we took, and there's, we were at a gig where there was no direct route to it.
Right. And if you have a Garmin,
once you get off the
all the maps are already in it when you take it with you. They're on an SD card. Yeah. And I know you can buy an app, like if you buy an iPhone app, they'll give you all the maps preloaded on your phone, and you can use it that way. But that also, I think they charge you $100 for it. So it's not free.
Right.
Like Google has Google Navigation, which is really good, but it requires the internet connection for that. So I use
So this utopia of blanket coverage, and this is what I argue. These items, I think, that iPod makes, Apple.
Yes.
Are for people in New York and Los Angeles.
They kind of are.
And Chicago.
San Francisco, yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They're for really, in most of the country, the whole benefit of... Now call me an old man. Call me a fogey. Yes, all right,
I do most of the time. You're
thank
not
you,
here.
You asshole. I'm still younger than you, and I always will be.
That's true.
I don't Twitter.
You don't Twitter.
I do Facebook.
He does Facebook.
I don't Twitter. So I'm an old cossle. But do you have any desire to do the things in a portable device that you do at home?
Well, no, here's the thing. Let me ask you a question.
Do you watch television on your phone?
No, I don't. I have a smartphone. I can do email. Sure. I can do the web. It does a pretty good job. The G1 does a pretty good job with email. Mm-hmm. Pretty good job with the phone. I can. What else can I do on there? You know, I can get weather. I can get sports scores. I can get that information if I want to go to a website. I can do it. It doesn't have flash. Mm-hmm. That's another. People are complaining the iPad doesn't have flash. Which, when you have a big giant screen like that, you might want to watch an embedded video. It'll do YouTube in its own app, but it won't do it embedded on the page. Like
instead of putting flash.
Yeah.
Functionality in there, you're gonna have to get another app for every other.
Yeah, and it's just kind of annoying. And
but it's got QuickTime.
Yeah, but my point is that it's not. They're using the iPod OS, which means that you're gonna be able to use the iPod apps, but not your desktop apps. In other words, you're not gonna be able to use.
It's not running OS 10.
Yeah, it's not using desktop software, so you're gonna be tethered to everything that's on the Apple Store. The whatever, what do they call that? The
Genius Bar, the Apple Store.
No, no, no. What do they call it on your phone?
There's the iTunes Store.
The App Store.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but everything on the App Store is approved by Apple.
Sure.
So if you have something where you want to make, say, a video player that can play any video, Apple's not going to like that because they want you to use the iTunes interface to play videos.
We have a Mac at home. That's our desktop, is a Mac. Mm-hmm. It is largely problem-free in terms of viruses and scans like that. That is true. It does freeze. This Max Never Freeze is a bunch of bunk because you'll get your little spinning rainbow.
Yeah.
Is what you get on the
and it'll
the
just
Mac.
Kind of sit there and it'll you can't sit, do anything
it'll pause.
Until you turn it off.
Not as badly as a PC.
But does it get to where you have to turn it off? Like, does it get to that?
Yeah, they have force quit.
Oh, force quit.
And
okay,
what you do is
you
force quit. But it, believe me, I'll have plenty of times where it'll freeze.
But really, any Windows system since XP...
Yeah.
Has been pretty good about that. If you need to quit an app, you can generally quit the app with the application without having to close down the whole
OS. I will say, on the whole, having used a Mac for about a year and a half now, it is better than the average PC at that stuff. But here's what drives me nuts. I spilled something on my keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I spilled some coffee on the keyboard because my dad was over.
Of the Apple?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the Mac. So I went to go and replace the keyboard.
Yeah.
They don't make that keyboard anymore. The computer is maybe under 2 years old.
Yeah. Did you have to get a whole new keyboard?
I had to get a new keyboard, yeah.
How much was that?
It was $50.
Oh,
but
okay.
I don't have an option.
Yeah, there's no option.
I have to get the Mac keyboard.
Uh-huh.
I guess I could get a USB keyboard.
You can get a USB keyboard. I know my roommate was using one of my USB keyboards.
But I wanted the Mac keyboard.
Yeah.
But the one that came with the computer that's under 2 years old, we don't make that anymore. Yeah, that's the problem.
It's fashion. Stuff goes in and out of style.
Right. Stuff is gone in 6 months, and you can't get replacement parts.
If this Microsoft keyboard that I use, I probably couldn't buy this one, but I could buy a very similar keyboard.
But Microsoft does not put out a new complete system every 4 weeks.
No, it's annoying.
That's what Mac does.
My question about the iPad is, and this is a guy, he wrote, Gizmodo says 8 things that suck about the iPad. It has a giant bezel. Which is, you know, that the screen is inside a frame, almost like my television. Like, if you look at my TV, it's got the big plastic around the screen. And the iPad has it, which, you know, you're only using. I mean, look at that. I mean, is that 20% of it is bezel, or say? Was that what you'd say?
Yeah, something.
And people say, well, you can't have it where you're touching it because you would be touching stuff. But I think people envision a screen that goes from edge to edge. More than that.
Well, that's not
in a
happening.
Sense. Okay, so that's one thing they say. No multitasking. If you're listening to music on your iPad and you want to open up the web browser, I don't think you're allowed to do that. Like, it won't do background stuff.
Well, that's maybe, that's maybe absurd. That's part of the whole benefit of a Mac.
Well, that's
is you can run multiple windows.
But that's
you
the thing. It says I can't have my Twitter ad open at the same time as my browser and my AIM open the same time as my email. Maybe that doesn't apply to the music player. I can't imagine they wouldn't let you listen to
good God
MP3s while
you're doing
your email.
Two or three windows
well,
open.
Well, that's
the
advantage. But again, since it's not using... I mean, I know OS X you can, but on the iPhone you can't, and you can't on this. Yeah. There's no camera. People were thinking, well, maybe this would be nice to have video chat on this thing.
No camera.
Can't do that.
Which most Macs come packaged with a camera.
Every iPhone has a camera.
Yeah.
I mean, my phone has a camera. Your phone has a camera.
Sure.
Most notebook computers now have cameras.
Christ, I got a Chinese food that had a camera.
I have a camera. Our YouTube videos were shot on a webcam, yeah. But you don't have one there. No touch, the touch keyboard, they're saying the one that comes on the screen sucks. And I can use the hard keyboard on here, the hardware keyboard or the software keyboard. And I think the software keyboard sucks.
Don't you think ultimately, though, what happened? Okay, the initial iPhone that came out had huge problems.
With the service and the revised. Well, they still do.
So that's what Apple will do, though. They'll put out a flawed product and then refine it.
Well, the first iPhone didn't have 3G. It had slower internet.
Sure.
Then they went to 3G, and then they went... Yeah. I don't know what the 3GS... I think it got a faster processor or something. Anyway, let's continue.
They're in the business of continually refining the product.
Right. No HDMI out. If you want to connect your iPad to a big TV and watch it or somehow put it on there, you can't do that. The name iPad, MaxiPad jokes, obviously. We've heard a million of those already. No Flash, we talked about that. So you go to web page. Even myjoelradio.net, if you want to use the player that's built into the page, you can't do that on the iPad.
Really?
You have to download the show, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't.
Wow.
Adapters, if you want to plug in. There's no USB ports on it. So you want to plug your digital camera and put your... digital photos on the iPad, you can't do it. You have to put them on a PC first, unless you want to use an adapter. No slots for memory cards. They don't know about that.
Mm.
It's not widescreen.
Wow.
Everything is now 16 by 9. You know, we have widescreen TV, sure. HDTV. But the aspect ratio is 4:3.
Wow, this thing sucks.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It doesn't support T-Mobile 3G, so obviously that's because it's on AT&T. It's
Jesus.
Not on T-Mobile. And they're saying it's the closed app ecosystem. In other words, that's what we were talking about. You can't just run any software you want on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then the tablet PC that Captain Kirk had running around with a little stylus on it was better than this.
I think that's what a lot of people are, you know, I think a lot of people are upset about this because they were expecting more. They've basically given you a giant iPhone.
And guess what will happen? This will get refined in the next 6 months.
And that's what people are saying.
But the problem with Apple, okay, Sony or, you know, Panasonic will make a nice TV that will last you a while.
Yeah.
They will put out as high quality a product as they can.
Yeah.
Apple is in the business of putting out shiny, pretty stuff and then going, oh, we got something better.
Yeah, here's the next newest thing.
Right.
And you have to have this now.
It's for first adopters.
And people buy those. People have that Apple lifestyle, and some people, you know. I mean, that's why I like my, you know, I'm on an Android phone. You know, I have a PC. I have an HP PC that I bought. I also built my own PC. I still have that. And, you know, it's.
And look, I think, is the Apple stuff cool and elegant and beautiful? Absolutely. Yeah. But I've just never felt the desire to be getting an iPhone. Sometimes I'm a little jealous of people's iPhones, but then I hear the AT&T coverage sucks.
Well, I think what happens with the iPhones, they drop calls a lot. In fact, we were talking today and we dropped a call for whatever reason. But
You know why I drop a call?
Why is that?
Because the face buttons on my computer, if I lean on it, I'll hang up on
something. You put it in there and it hangs up. What they're saying is that has to do with the 3G internet. That when you have 3G internet, if you lose the 3G signal, that's switch over to the 2G signal, the edge network. And if you're on a phone call, the switching from 3G to the other network for the internet causes the GSM radio, which is the phone radio, to drop the call. And that's why people lose it. So the fault of it really is that AT&T's 3G network is overloaded by people with these iPhones, constantly downloading stuff and sending pictures back and forth. And doing all this internet stuff and surfing the web, and that the networks in these big cities can't support them.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear people in San Francisco, New York always complain about, you know, my iPhone drops calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then people say, well, my iPhone's great, but maybe because you're not using it in these places where every jackass has an iPhone. So anyway, so that's the iPad. I'm not getting it. Plus the other thing, there, it's not really a laptop. Wouldn't you rather have a laptop?
Yeah.
If you had a choice.
But see, Apple's in this business of reinventing the wheel, too.
Right. But I'm saying, if you have a smartphone, you can do most of the stuff that this thing does already.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a laptop, you can pretty much do everything this thing does already.
Sure.
So who was this for?
I don't know.
I mean, I have a smartphone. I don't have a laptop. You don't have a smartphone, but you have a laptop.
Well, I've got internet on my phone.
You got internet
on your phone,
but it's not a smartphone. But I mean, it's still
Okay, I had a phone that I had the Verizon phone that was better and had TV on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Never watched it. Never used it.
But
so
I'm
saying,
If you have a laptop, mm-hmm. you don't really need this.
Right.
If you have a smartphone, you don't really need this. Mm-hmm. And you know, the reason I don't have a laptop is because I have a smartphone.
Sure.
I don't need the laptop when I go
on
the road.
But that's because you don't live in New York City, and you're not on a subway all day.
I just don't need another thing. You know, I went with the smartphone.
That's the thing.
And I said, okay, now I don't need a laptop. I have a nice desktop. And, and it's like just everything that you're going to do on the iPad, you need to have a desktop computer or a laptop. Download all your stuff to that. You're going to buy all your stuff on iTunes, and you're going to move it all over to the iPad. Another thing to sync, another thing to hook up. And
well,
I think
it's because Apple wants to control the whole thing.
Well, I think a lot of people are not happy with it.
Microsoft found themselves, what they did was they just created the structure and the framework that you had to buy.
Right.
Apple wants you to buy not only the framework and the structure, but the software.
And Google's done
and the
that with Android, where any maker of hardware can take the Android operating system and put it on their phones. It's actually free, believe it or not. Like, if you want to make a phone and put Android on it, Google will give you the tools to do it. And you do it, and you don't have to pay them for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, then Google does support, you know, like My Contacts and that are held. They do cloud computing where everything's stored in a mainframe, and it all comes down wirelessly. And it works well, and it's just it's an alternative. And I'm going to take the alternative rather than the iPad. So I'm not buying it. Corey's not,
I'm not buying
it, and I don't think a lot of people are going to buy it, but we'll see.
Well,
time will tell.
Thank you for listening to the Leo LaPorte show.
All right.
This is the techiest.
Let's quickly do the because I know you've been looking over the article.
Yeah.
Do you want to just do them in order? Maybe do the top 25, and then we'll
that's a lot of them.
Okay, but just maybe quickly, because the first one, they say the biggest TV's 50th biggest blunders of all time. What is number one was Leno moving to 10, and of course we've discussed that a lot.
Do you want to do the top 10?
Give me number two, because I'll just say yes or no to these. We don't have to discuss these.
Fox yanks Family Guy off the air twice.
Well, Family Guy turned out to be a hit for them, but I understand why they pulled it.
Yeah, but now they've given Seth MacFarlane 25 shows.
Well, I know. They've changed their
tune. How does he get to do the same show three times in a row?
You know, people, I don't know who watches that either.
Yeah.
I don't get that, but, you know.
Number three, I agree with Cavemen.
Cavemen was bad. I watched the whole first one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a funny commercial, but it didn't really work for a half-hour show, so.
And you knew it was not going to work for a half-hour show from the get-go.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, generally, the commercials, here's part of it, though. Those commercials weren't that funny.
No.
They were cute, but they weren't that funny.
It's the same thinking that goes into, there's some friggin' MacGruber movie coming out.
Yeah, there's a MacGruber movie that's coming
out. That skit's not funny on SNL to begin with.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh. Number four, Moonlighting's David and Maddie hookup.
And that's true of any TV show. But you could say that with The Office with Jim and Pam or any of these shows where Lois and Clark had to get married and stuff, and it ruins it, yeah.
Yeah, I
agree with that.
Moonlighting
was
a good show. It did fall apart. But if they had never had sex, people would have been upset with that, too.
Sure.
The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer.
See, I never saw
that. Remember
that? I don't remember that. I saw
it was a show about one of Lincoln's slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was not in the best of taste. And
I never saw that, so that's too bad.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
God bless him. Yeah. Coupling.
Well, they do a lot of these British shows. They bring them over and they work, and, you know, that one didn't. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a... I mean, look, that's just another show that didn't work, so...
Yeah, I guess it wasn't technically a slave, but he was his butler. Sorry. Coupling.
Coupling.
Not good. This one I definitely agree with, and this goes into your Regis hatred. ABC overdoes it with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, they ruined that.
They put it on like five nights a week and killed the... It was a big, huge, massive hit.
Right, and that's not something that would be exclusive to Millionaire. If they did that with any show,
and they do,
they
it
would ruin it.
But
well,
how many nights a week is Idol on?
Idol's on two nights a week for now, and I think
yeah,
it goes. Well, I think it's always on two nights a week because they have the results show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but I think it's just a matter. I mean, what is Dancing with the Stars when that comes out?
That's on a bunch.
I think it's like three hours the first night and then 2 hours the second night.
And then there's a results show.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, they do that too. And it's at the beginning when there's all those celebrities, it's like just too much.
Who wants a results show? Who wants to sit there and watch?
Oh, no, you know, okay. I think if I remember correctly, Dancing with the Stars, when they come on, I think they do two-hour shows and then a results show. So it's actually three nights a week at the beginning. And that's too much, and that's true of any show. So,
well, Millionaire was such a big hit. Yeah. They could have kept the – now, okay, game shows die off eventually.
Yeah, they do.
They don't keep an audience for a long time. Mm-hmm. But they could have probably kept it for a couple years rolling as a once-a-night, one-night.
Well, know. It was an event, and now it just became a regular show. And Millionaire's on in syndication, I believe, still, right?
Sure.
And but I mean, did you ever watch it? It's just not an event anymore.
No.
It's just not something, you know. Yeah.
Well, they brought it back. They brought back Regis.
Yeah.
And that was, by the way, the great. I did watch that.
Oh, okay.
Because a guy got to the $1 million question, and was such a jerk.
Yeah.
And the questions were not. And I sat there going, "My God, I wouldn't have used a lifeline. I breezed through every question.
$1 million question.
And here was the $1 million question.
Yeah.
The $1 million question was: President Johnson had a box on his desk at the White House that had four buttons on it.
Okay.
One said coffee. One said root beer, one said water, and what the other one said this.
Oh, boy.
And the choice, the answer was Fresca.
Oh, okay.
And I...
And you knew that?
I knew that because it's a Southern thing.
Yeah.
Right?
What were the options, though?
The other options kind of disqualified it.
Yeah, okay.
Because they seemed silly. I don't know. Really? Fresca, to me, sounded like something LBJ would drink. I didn't know that definitively, but I had a pretty good feeling about
it. Yeah, was it $1 million?
And the
game?
Guy went and said the wrong thing, and he sat there and said to Regis, "Make me a millionaire." And then he, boom, bombed right up.
Well, another problem with the Regis, with Millionaire thing, was it also spawned all of the duplicate talks. What were the ones? I mean, there was one where we were a team of people. And they would split a bunch of money.
Yeah,
remember that show?
Yeah.
And then there was 21.
There was Greed.
Greed, I think, was the one where they had it with Chuck Woolery.
Sure. They cloned that show.
And 21 was great because they just were saying, like, we're going to give away $2 million. And, you know, because it was all about, like, people wanted to see somebody win a million. And they made it so easy to win on 21 that... It was a joke. You know, I mean, the show was a joke.
Saying, what about,
we want to see somebody win a million, so then they made it easy to win the million, and then nobody cared.
Is Deal or No Deal blown out? Is that still
Deal
on?
Or No Deal, I think, is still on.
Okay.
I don't know if people win a million.
But it was an event for a while.
It was an event for a while, and now it's actually on syndication now, too.
Yeah, but you can't keep a game show going for that.
Yeah, they're not hot.
The premature exit of David Caruso, Shelley Long... All these people leaving shows early.
Yeah, and Pernell Roberts, they talk about. He died this week, so.
What about,
good night, Pernell.
God bless you, Trapper John. MD.
Trapper John is dead, yes.
What about, although Elliot Gould will always be Trapper John. For
yeah,
me.
I know what you're saying.
Well, did they talk about McLean Stevenson bailing MASH?
No, but, you know, those guys were replaced, and, you know.
That was a dumb move for him, though. He never got it back after that.
I think they talk about his show, whatever, in the
Hello,
bottom.
Hello, Larry. 50.
Hello, Larry is one of his bottom.
Felicity cutting her hair.
Exactly, and that was a big deal. And I don't even know. I understand why people were upset about that, but I kind of.
They hated that one.
They hated that, yeah.
She got a Nike haircut, and everybody.
You know what I think the problem was that was, is that people wanted to be like her. And then they changed her hair, and then people no longer wanted to be like girls. Kind of look like, oh, here's this perfect college girl, and she's in New York, and it's great. Yeah. She has this great haircut.
Now let me ask.
And then they made her. She aged 10 years with the haircut.
As a general rule of thumb, how do you feel about that?
About what girls?
About
haircuts?
Girls getting those short
hair. I like girls that have long hair. That's my thing.
I think most men do, and girls always want to cut their.
They
hair
do.
Short.
They really do.
They always. Yeah. Always. Yeah. Want to shave it all off and get a little dykey haircut, and they all think that they're Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, I know. They all think.
And they all want to do it, and we all hate it.
Yeah, we all do hate it. And,
God, they do. Yeah. Every girl does that.
Yeah, it's not.
I've had girlfriends do that, and I just go,
I've
what
seen
were
girls.
You
I had a roommate once that had a very short
hair. Yeah,
haircut.
I remember
you know
her.
But she was a very good looking girl.
Some
in
of
general.
Those girls can pull it off.
And she pulled it off. Most girls can't pull that
Most
off.
Of them
you
can't.
Don't try that. No. And by the way, that girl even still would have been better with long hair.
Oh, yeah, probably.
You know, so I mean,
I don't care if it's moderately long. Yeah. You don't have to be Crystal right. Gale. Yeah. But that little tiny pixie cut, you're not Helen Slater in the Ode to Billy Joe. Or whatever. All right, number 10, the XFL.
Oh, obviously.
That's a huge.
I mean, I think any football, because I watched a little, God, what was the one that was on? The UFL that was on HDNet this season. And,
oh, yeah, that was bad.
I mean, they were showing games, Corey. I mean, literally. It looked like a high school game, like 100 sure. people in the stands. Yeah. I mean, just nobody, you know.
This is what makes me nuts, by the way, about just sporting events in general. This will happen with soccer sometimes.
Yeah.
They'll have soccer events that aren't well attended.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the camera on the side of the field where the people are sitting.
Yeah.
So there is an audience.
Yeah.
But they're all on one side of the stadium.
Yeah.
So the other side of the stadium looks empty.
Yeah, it's...
Why don't you just put the camera on the other side of the stadium from where the crowd is?
Question.
Or make the crowd sit on the other side. I don't know, whatever.
They do what they do.
Number 11, the terrible, terrible talk shows of Chevy Chase and Magic Johnson.
Yeah, those were both bad, and they didn't want to say which one was worse, and...
They do talk about Pat Sajak.
You expected Chevy to be good, and it was bad, and Magic, we expected it to be bad, and it was bad, too, so... I agree with them. I think Chevy was worse.
Oh, God, the Magic Show was bad. It was unwatchably bad.
Uh-huh.
What else is good here? Number 15 is a show we both enjoyed, Kid Nation.
Kid Nation was... See, when I read that, that was the one... I mean, now granted, some of those I didn't watch, you know, like Cop Rock, they talk about stuff, but Kid Nation I watched, and it was great. It was fun show. Mm. Really good show. I mean, look, it was a dumb premise and stuff, but you actually had to watch it to enjoy it, and I watched every episode of Kid Nation, and I know you did too, and I thought Kid Nation was actually a pretty good show. So
I did. I thought it was an interesting show.
Yeah, I thought kids liked it, and I thought it was good.
But they were like...
But you know what's funny is they do all these other reality shows with kids where they do like the Kid Survivor, and they're on like Saturday morning, and Nickelodeon does stuff where they do like kiddie trading spaces and all this stuff. Yeah. And they're all exploitive, and they're all stupid.
Right.
And so was Kid Nation, but Kid Nation was in primetime, and it's a different standard.
God,
something.
I used to have the drop from Kid Nation.
You'd
think it's funny being a comedian.
Well, the girl was trying to do comedy, and there was a lot. But they also had this, part of that was a lot of the hype of Kid Nation was,
right.
Let's do a show without parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like it was anarchy, it was Lord of the Flies, when in fact it really wasn't.
I would generally argue that shows, any reality show involving a kid is a bad idea.
What about
like John and Kate Plus Eight?
Yeah, exactly.
Look what they're doing to those dumb kids.
What's the one with tiaras? It's like the little kid.
Oh, right, right. The little kid beauty pageant.
Oh, God, that's awful. That's on a lot.
Yeah.
I passed by it the other night, and I was
like, remember how bad the Amazing Race Family Edition was?
Yeah, the Amazing Race Family Edition was a huge mistake.
Most reality shows involving children are not going to work.
Yeah, Kid Nation was fun, though.
Because the whole point of a reality show is watching how stupid people are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole appeal of Big Brother for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is to watch the immense dummies sit there and try and think, figure out problems. So there you go. Joni Loves Chachi.
Okay.
That was a bad one.
Joni Loves Chachi was bad.
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, I don't know why they... I mean, that's just a show that didn't work for me. I mean, I don't know.
It was very hyped as being...
Was it really?
Well, it was, you know, the West Wing was sure. huge at the time, and Aaron Sorkin was considered the golden god. And he came on and did that turd of a show.
But wasn't it also that they did two kind of behind-the-scene SNL-type shows?
At the same time.
With 30 Rock and that, and 30 Rock was the funnier, better show.
You know
show,
what 30 Rock never... with the difference, I think, and what killed Studio 60, one of the things? They would actually show the sketches from the
Studio
show.
Studio 60?
And they were horrible.
Yeah.
They were horrifically unfunny.
Okay.
So that you never believed that that show would be successful in any way. Whereas 30 Rock, you'll almost never get a glimpse of what goes on the real show.
They show you behind the scenes, and
right.
they don't really ever give it away.
So. Which was smarter on 30 Rock's part.
Yeah.
Boy, so what else? Coy and Vance on the Dukes of Hazzard.
That was bad as a
We've
kid,
talked
yeah.
about that.
They replaced Bo and Luke, and they brought him back after a year, but the show was never the same. So.
Oh, boy. So there you go. There's your couple other ones. Pink Lady and Jeff, of course.
Which even you shouldn't know that. That's...
It's
your
so
time,
obscure.
Really, yeah.
It was on in like 1979.
Yeah.
It was Jeff Altman, who used to come on the Letterman show a lot.
He still comes on Letterman.
Yeah, I know. No
he's
one
Letterman's
else will put him
buddy.
On TV.
He's his favorite
right.
comic. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Tom Dreesen's his buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he thinks Jeff Altman was the funniest stand-up. Like, he was the guy that made Dave laugh.
Made nothing out of his career.
Yeah, it would never...
I'll flip you like a cheese
was,
omelet.
Yeah.
It was him and two Japanese singers who couldn't speak English.
But it was... But it was a, what do you call it? It was a variety show.
Sure.
So they would have other acts. It wasn't a sitcom or something.
Now, I'm going to get in my hover round and talk to you as Old Man Jones about how bad kids today don't understand how bad television once was.
It's true.
And there was no excuse for it, by the way, because there was less of it.
Okay.
There were only three networks.
Right.
You think they could come up with something fucking good.
Well.
But they put on horrible shit.
That's where a lot of people would get this argument about, you know, TV rots your brain and there's nothing good on TV and all this.
Sure.
Stuff. Well, there were three channels. It did rot your brain because you'd watch garbage all day.
It was horrible.
When you got 100 channels. There's lots of good stuff on.
There's Discovery Channel, the History Channel. There's always something to learn.
Yeah, but there's always stuff.
When there were three channels in PBS, God, was it brutal.
There was nothing to watch. And, you know, people tell me, I know I've said this a million times, but, like, I can't watch all the TV that's recommended to me.
There's too much.
You can't do it because I've got to watch. I can't just watch Lost. I got to get every Lost that's ever existed and watch that. And I've got to get every The Wire, and I've got to get Sopranos, and I've got to get this show and that show. And all this stuff is on, and, you know, I have to watch Heroes every week. I have to watch my girlfriend has me watching Fringe now. I have to watch, you know, it's like, it's too much.
I have four Fringes on my DVR. I like Fringe. It's a good show.
But
I don't feel compelled to watch it every week.
But, I mean, you have more stuff available to you that is good, at least by some people's definition.
Oh, absolutely.
Then you can watch.
There's more quality TV. I don't watch Chuck because people tell me it's good.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have time for that.
I've watched Chuck a couple times, but it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's okay.
But just consider back in the 60s, there were only three networks. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have some, you know, UHF.
It's syndicated, yeah. Stuff.
But there were only three networks. And they had the audacity to put F Troop on.
Like
they only had so many hours of network time,
prime time.
And they put shows as bad as F Troop
and
Hogan's Heroes on.
But those were big shows.
I know.
They were all, you know.
Gilligan's Goddamn Island.
And that's,
that show is so horrible.
But that's the thing, too, about flops then. They had to be awful.
They were really
awful. Like the flops then, when you're talking about, like, Hello Larry and these things that are in there. It's like when you were around in the 70s or the early 80s, it's like how did you flop? You know, you had to really be bad.
Yeah, although they are talking about Are You Hot with Lorenzo Lamas.
Which
was a ripoff of Howard Stern's Evaluators.
But that was just another, you know, I mean, whenever there's one show, any of the duplicates of whatever the hot show was, those are always bad.
Yeah.
You know, like the American, they have American Juniors in there, which was the little kid singing version of American Idol. So any, like, ripoff or clone shows are always considered bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are never good. Like, that's just a rule.
Emily's Reasons Why Not.
Well, that we talked about that. We were doing the show when that was on. And I never saw it. It was Heather Graham's sitcom.
Yeah, no one saw it. It was on two episodes.
Well, they ran it once and then canceled it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why did it even air once?
Right. How did it get to
like,
that
how
point?
How did it even air once?
Oh, man.
Wouldn't it be less of an embarrassment to not air it and just let it, you know, go? But
mm-hmm. Joe Millionaire 2.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the thing is, the premise of Joe Millionaire was blown by the end of the first one.
Right.
So how why you would you need to do another
do a second one?
I don't know.
Well, you know what they did, and I know it's in there, but I remember because I watched that for a minute, is they couldn't do it in America, obviously, because people knew what the gig was up, you know? So they went to Europe, and they had a bunch of Hungarian chicks running around, and they barely spoke English. And they were all pining away for some cowboy who they told was like some cattle rancher. And it was bad. I think I might have watched
Joe Millionaire was brutal to begin with.
Joe Millionaire was bad, but people were expecting it. The end is going to be amazing.
You know what they don't have? What was the show with Monica Lewinsky and the guys in masks?
Mr. Personality.
That is the single worst television program
that's
ever been on the air.
What about The Littlest Groom?
I'll watch a midget over that. Monica Lewinsky, it was so creepy. It was guys in like luchador masks dating chicks. It was awful.
Chain of Love. But what about the one that they did where you had to date in the dark? Wasn't it called Date in the Dark? And it was just on this past fall.
That's dumb, too.
And I think they got rid of it. Okay.
But that couldn't beat the creepiness of Mr. Personality.
Okay, but I watched every Joe Millionaire, like every episode. Yeah. I mean, I watched every Kid Nation, which was good.
Oy.
Joe Millionaire, I guess I regret watching in hindsight, but at the time it was good. Here's one that I watched that I think you did, too. My Big Fat Fiance or whatever.
I watched some of that.
My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiance. I watched every episode of that, which was, you know, obviously not a high.
Another one they couldn't do again because the premise was blown.
But that was kind of a Joe Millionaire thing where they had the twist at the end.
What was the one where everybody was in on the joke except the guy?
Joe Blow.
Yeah, they couldn't do that one again.
Okay, but you know who was on Joe Blow?
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig was one of the fake contestants.
You know what's a terrible reality show?
What's that?
Who's Your State Paranormal? I don't know if you're...
really? I saw The Sizzler. Does that have an airtime?
It has not been officially announced yet.
But
so
you have some info? You can't say anything?
One of the kids in the cast put his Facebook...
Oh, okay.
Put a picture of Facebook with him with a shirt with the show's name on it.
Okay, because I saw The Sizzler with John Tanner.
Well, that will be covered, I'm sure, in the future
on
Joel Radio.
I mean, what television needs is more paranormal shows.
There's like 12
There's no ghost hunting shows on.
There's
I
like
can't
Paranormal
find
State.
I looked for a ghost hunting show. I couldn't find And by the way, well, I watched every Jersey Shore.
I have not watched a nanosecond of it.
Jersey Shore was great.
Can't.
But Jersey Shore was...
Now those mulakas want pay raises.
I know, and it's never going to be good again, and they're going to do dating shows, and they're going to do spinoffs. But Jersey Shore was good in the way that, like, the first Real World was.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how Jersey Shore was. I mean, it was they were knuckleheads, but it didn't have kind of that scripted.
It didn't.
Feel.
There was no structure.
Yeah,
to it.
It didn't have a lot of structure. It was more open. Like they had this thing where the guy's house is the guy that owned the T-shirt shop, and they had to go work at the T-shirt shop every day, or else the guy would evict him.
Right.
And they had the boss on maybe two or three times in the whole season to yell at him.
Yeah.
And after a while, the boss just kind of went away. And
you know, by the way, speaking of The Real World, that was fake even in the beginning. Do you remember? Okay, remember they were sitting around doing nothing, and then suddenly they magically got tickets to Jamaica.
The girls went to Jamaica,
so that you could see Becky and what's her name in a bikini.
Julie.
That's all it was.
A little bit, yeah.
But I'll never forgive MTV for MTV put out these The Real World You Never Saw uncensored.
Yeah.
And Becky and Julia ran around topless in
and
Jamaica.
You didn't see that,
and they don't. They can't. What?
They didn't make them sign a release.
They
put the language back in. Is that what they did?
Yeah, but they can't give you a release. And then they did the Hawaii, and those chicks were naked the whole show.
But you never saw
and
that.
And you
either.
Never could. God damn you, MTV.
Okay, here's a great
Remember
one.
Remember how mad you were about Playboy running Olivia Munn not naked?
Well, yeah, I was mad about that, but that's Playboy. I mean, MTV
right.
is.
But
a
I'm just saying,
standard.
Don't put out this uncensored shit and that. I wanted to see Becky topless. Give me some Becky topless.
Oh, please, I'm over that now. Come on. Here's the one thing, though, that talk about a show being so boring they had to spice it up. Mm. And I don't think you watched it, but I watched Big Brother 1.
Now, did watch Big Brother.
Big Brother 1 was a different production company than even Big Brother, who does it now. The people were getting voted off by fan votes, and the fans kept voting out the most popular people, and it got really.
Yeah.
But it was so boring, Big Brother 1, with Curtis, the Asian guy, and they got a three-legged dog. And they threw a three-legged dog in the Big Brother house, like, in the last 3 weeks or something, just to make it interesting. Because there was the guy with one leg. Do you remember that? The guy, Eddie, he won the whole thing. And the show was so bad that they put on a dog with three
legs.
Well,
that's they stopped letting people vote for it.
Yes. By season two, they went with... Yeah. Well, season two was, you know, the doctor, evil Dr. Will and Chilltown and all that stuff. And so that people remember that. Mike Boogie and all that.
Well, there you go. I would have included.
Well, Cousin Oliver is in there from Brady Bunch.
I would have included the new Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was horrible. What about the new Bionic Woman?
Yeah, both of those.
Bionic Woman.
Any of those remakes.
It's funny because I was looking up. I was like, what happened to the new Bionic Woman? And they said that was killed by the writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
New Bionic Woman.
It was killed by sucking.
It never came back. But they blame the writer's strike for that one. Like, had they been able to write new episodes, it would have come back.
Dennis Miller on Monday Night Football.
Dennis Miller on Monday Night Football was bad.
And then Dennis Miller, not only did he bomb on that, then he kind of went like to Fox and kind of marginalized his career.
Well, he became conservative after 9/11 when he...
Yeah.
No, he didn't criticize.
But Dennis Miller was a major comedian. And the farther right he went, the more he kind of
I know what you mean.
Marginalized his career.
He sort of his fan base.
You can do fine on Fox. I'm just saying, Dennis Miller used to be in the big public conscious.
His fan base became Jon Stewart fans and Bill Maher fans and these kind of people. And kind of left Dennis Miller.
He just sounds like an old crank on O'Reilly.
But don't you see when you know, like people tell you, like here's just something that we can't relate to. People will tell you that Mort Saul was this brilliant political guy. And if you see Mort Saul interview now, you just go, who the fuck is this asshole? And maybe that's kind of what Dennis Miller, you know, was great in the 90s.
No, I know, but he was a major stand-up, and now you never hear from him.
I don't know. I mean, people probably still go to Dennis Miller. But
it's just a small... He made his audience smaller.
It happens to people.
So there you go. That Life with Lucy, that was bad.
Yeah.
Lucy was about 75 years old, and they put her on a show, and she was, like, forgetting her lines.
I put all Lucy shows in the top 50.
Would you?
Yeah, the first goddamn stupid Lucy.
You didn't like the old... I liked... When I was a kid, I liked the original Lucy, because it was on all the time. I thought Fred and Desi were funny.
I know what you mean by that, but it's not a good show.
It doesn't hold up now.
I can't watch a Lucy.
But
I
when you were eight, you could have watched it.
I couldn't watch a Lucy. Sure. No. Can't watch it.
Well, there you go. There's been a lot of crappy TV.
And the other thing they mentioned, I think it's there, that what happened to Saturday Night TV?
They've shit-canned everything.
Because I remember being a kid, and I was home Saturday night, and there was Fantasy Island and Love Boat. And I think Dukes of Hazzard was Friday night.
Saturday used to be a big TV night.
Saturday used to be a big TV night. Now it's all garbage.
Of course, the ever-popular Cop Rock, which I actually watched every episode of Cop Rock. Yeah.
And how was that?
I have the last episode on a videotape somewhere. I do.
Was Viva Laughlin that bad?
Viva Laughlin, apparently, it was based on a British show called Viva Blackpool.
Yeah.
And that apparently sucked big dong. I didn't.
But that had Hugh Jackman. He's like a big star.
I didn't see.
He's like too big for TV.
He is.
And his show failed.
But I watched every episode of Cop Rock.
Did you?
And it was absurd, but I thought it was kind of fun. There was another musical, that 1989 season, I remember very distinctly for some reason, because I was such a nerd back then that I got excited about the new fall lineup.
Yeah.
And there was a show called The Famous Teddy Z with John Cryer, which was supposed to revolutionize television. And it was a funny show.
Yeah.
Lasted a year and was gone.
Yeah.
There was a show called, not only was there Cop Rock, there was a show, there were two other musicals. People forget this.
Yeah.
There was a show called Hell High.
Okay.
That was a sitcom high school show with musical numbers in it.
Yeah.
And not to be confused with The Bronx Zoo with Ed Asner. God, I'm a dork. Sure. I got to get out of my life. Anyway, and there was another show that was like Joe Bologna adopted like these poor girls he had like little girls and they were doing musical numbers like Sugar Baby. Terrible. TV used to suck a dong and there was no excuse for it.
I agree with you that.
There was no excuse for that TV to suck that bad when you had the goddamn Dukes of Hazzard was another show.
And I'm not saying that today, you know, the Midget Chocolate Factory show is a great show.
No.
But I'm saying on balance, you know, there's more out there. Even if the batting average is lower, or maybe the batting average is the same for good shows.
There's still the biggest loser and all this
garbage.
There's
still a lot of stuff that's not good, so we're not.
All right, well, TV has sucked, and it always has, and Jay Leno is a big dick. I think we've covered it.
Well, as long as TV sucks, you will always be welcome
here. Steve Jobs will save us all.
You know, it was great during that, and he was talking about... And this is, I didn't see anybody make this joke, but I was watching some of the press conference, Steve Jobs, and he was talking about how thin the iPad, he says, the iPad, look how thin it is. And I go, well, it takes after its creator, doesn't it? Because he's about 86 pounds, but apparently he had his liver removed or something.
Did we mention J.D. Salinger?
J.D. Salinger dead, goodbye. And the poltergeist lady, the little midget lady, is gone.
Yeah.
She stepped into the light.
I thought she'd been dead for a while.
All are welcome. No, she died this past
long time Deadpool favorite, J.D. Salinger, finally gone.
Finally. Perennial all-star.
All right. Why can't Jay Leno have a heart attack?
I don't know. I got to talk Super Bowl next week, so that'll be on the show. I still want your questions. Send those into email at CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Call the douchebag hotline, 610-552-0746.
All right. Until the next Oprah interview.
All right. Goodbye. Good night to Corey, and good night to all you. We'll catch you next time.